This is KUAF, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas, and this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, July 29th, 2021. This hour, we learn more about a study by University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences about vaccines and vaccine hesitancy. And later, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis gives us the live music rundown for a sweltering last hurrah of July. After our show on Here and Now, dance great Judith Jameson talks about performing dances by legendary choreographer Alvin Ailey and the new documentary about Ailey's life and work. Here and Now from NPR begins at 1. There are just more than 1,700 newly diagnosed cases of COVID-19 contained in yesterday's report from the Arkansas Department of Health. The ADH is also reporting a dozen newly reported deaths from the virus and a net increase in hospitalizations from the disease of 39 patients. Now, 1,064 Arkansas hospital beds are occupied by COVID-19 patients. Active cases in the state grew by another 148 to now more than 15,600. Northwest Arkansas hospitals are reporting numbers of COVID-19 patients that's reaching near the winter surge peak. Late yesterday, there were 130 patients with the virus, just 10 fewer than the highest number recorded in January. More than 95% of the patients are not vaccinated, according to a press release from Northwest Arkansas healthcare providers, the youngest patient under the age of 12. Governor Asa Hutchinson is scheduled to host a press conference this afternoon. The announcement of the press conference yesterday came on a day when the governor was meeting with legislative leaders to discuss, among other topics, masking in schools. There have been requests from some teachers, lawmakers, and health professionals for a special session of the legislature to, in some form, address a new law prohibiting schools from establishing mask mandates. And a letter to state leaders outlining legal reasons for repeal or suspension of that new law is a probable precursor to the filing of a lawsuit. Tom Mars, a Rogers-based attorney, sent the letter to Governor Asa Hutchinson and legislators. Mars writes that he wants the governor and legislators to forget about policy and partisanship and concentrate on what he calls outstanding leadership. And there will be multiple opportunities to receive COVID-19 vaccinations in Bentonville in the next few weeks. Downtown Bentonville Incorporated, the Northwest Arkansas Council, and Visit Bentonville will host several vaccination clinics beginning Saturday from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Bentonville Farmers Market on the town square. Other chances for the vaccine include Bentonville's First Friday on August 6th and the Farmers Markets on Saturday, August 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. The Pfizer vaccine will be administered at each event. The I-40 bridge over the Mississippi River connecting Arkansas to Tennessee is scheduled to reopen to limited traffic Monday. The Arkansas Department of Transportation is planning for eastbound lanes to open Monday morning at 6, westbound lanes to open Friday, August 6th, those westbound lanes to be opened at a still-to-be-determined time of day. The bridge has been shut down since May 11th after a cracked beam was discovered. Another excessive heat warning for western Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma today, with highs around 100 and heat index values around 113. Northwest Arkansas today under a heat advisory, highs around 95, heat index readings near 104. This is Ozarks at Large. With COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations continuing to rise in Arkansas, reasons for vaccine reluctance are drawing attention. David Monteith, with our partner station KUAR in Little Rock, has more.
One of the reasons some Arkansans give for not getting one of the COVID-19 vaccines approved for use in the state is they've already contracted the disease and therefore have natural immunity. Mike Sema, chief epidemiologist for the Arkansas Department of Health, has heard this excuse in person.
Just personally, anecdotally, I hear that constantly from folks that I know have been infected.
Most people who contract the disease develop antibodies, which offer some protection against future infection. However, Dr. Jennifer Giovanni, a specialist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says that protection isn't always long-lasting.
So what we know about those antibodies is that there is very likely a period of time that provides protection from getting infected again. But and we're not quite sure the length of that time, somewhere 6 to 12 months. But those levels of antibodies in the blood start to decrease with time.
Lower levels of protection from antibodies from a previous infection, combined with the increased contagiousness of the Delta variant, may be one reason reinfections are happening more frequently.
We are seeing more cases of reinfection both in the United States and globally. Many of those reinfections are detected or found, let's say, within certain groups of people that have repeat testing. So healthcare workers or employees at care facilities.
For many questions surrounding reinfections, the answers just aren't there. Testing for COVID-19 reinfections requires genomic sequencing testing on a scale not available in most states. Sequencing would allow scientists to distinguish between a new case of COVID-19 that might be caused by a variant, as opposed to an ongoing case, commonly referred to as long COVID. Seema says vaccines are the best path to herd immunity in the state.
Reinfection is possible. To what degree, I don't think is fully understood yet. So just from that alone, I would say that the best course of action for somebody who was infected previously is to get the vaccine and get both doses.
Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen vaccines are all approved for use and widely available in Arkansas. In Little Rock, I'm David Monteith.
This is Ozarks at Large. This autumn, North Arkansas College, a public community college in Harrison, is offering an enhanced arts curriculum, including art therapy, with foundation grant support. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Dusty Domino this morning teaches a field raku pottery firing demonstration along a local creek. Using calipers, he removes a pot from a hot kiln and places it onto a pile of sawdust, which starts to smoke.
A little bit different on this. You can see the colors changing on it, especially right out here on the outside of it, really translucent.
The pottery class is offered by North Arkansas College in Harrison, along with drawing, painting, design, art history, photography, art appreciation, and as you will hear much more. Masters of Fine Arts instructor Cynthia Dollard says classes have been busy despite a pandemic.
Well, we were fortunate in the fall of 2020 to receive a grant to upgrade our studio facilities to a high-tech Zoom room. So we have multiple screens, microphones, and this allows us to teach students both in the studio. Last fall, they were spaced to be safe, but we also had about half of our students attending remotely. So fortunately, we can do both, and we'll be moving more into the studio in the fall. We'll still have that Zoom option available.
Dollard, on faculty since 2004, is also coordinator of the college's new art initiative, funded for 2 years with a $40,000 Wingate Foundation grant early last year.
Now, we got about 3 months into our grant and our programs changed. But even in that first 3 months, we were able to establish a partnership with the Eureka Springs School of the Arts. We were able to start our high school programs and several other in on-site programs. With the onset of COVID, we pivoted, like so many people really have had to do.
All these years, North Arkansas College has offered art classes, but no degree program. That's about to change. Offering, again, both remote and in-person learning, even as the pandemic in Arkansas surges again, Dollard is determined to press forward, developing the college's art degree program.
So with the Arts Initiative, we've been able to develop a certificate that allows students to get an artisan professional certificate. We are currently working on a 2-year studio arts degree that will allow them to focus on the arts and also develop professional skills. In addition, we have had a robust student art club that we were able to do through the Arts Initiative, and we've done a wonderful outreach to the high school students, both online and in person, to draw them in and to show them our art studio and to make those connections.
As Dollard mentioned, the college is partnered with Eureka Springs School of the Arts, also a recipient in 2020 of a Wingate grant valued at $10 million, located northwest of Eureka near Beaver Lake. The school offers instruction in studio crafts and fine arts.
North Ark and Eureka Springs School of the Arts have been talking for about 5 years about how we might work together. And with the Arts Initiative, we were able to develop very specific programs. So we're so excited about this. We're going to be offering four-day workshops in fields such as woodworking, blacksmithing, knife making, or what we call bladesmithing. And in these four-day workshops, the students can take a van from the college to ESSA, and then they'll work like 10 to 5 in the studio. And at the end of the 4 days, they'll have received 2 credits. One exciting thing about this is that the artisans that are teaching these classes are true masters.
Students who enroll in the Eureka Springs School of the Arts workshops through the college scheduled for next spring are eligible for financial aid and can receive tuition support for classes. Dreama Phoenix, board-certified art therapist in fall 2020, taught a hybrid introduction to art therapy at North Arkansas College, which she will do again this coming year.
Well, I think it's part of an art revolution in Northwest Arkansas. When I wanted to go to school for art therapy, when I wanted to get a master's degree in 1985, I had to go to University of Louisville, and I had no opportunity to learn at the college level what art therapy was. 35 years later, you can take an introduction to art therapy class that we offer at North Arc. You could complete a four-year program at the bachelor's level that would prepare the student for the necessary graduate degree in art therapy. You can't practice art therapy without a master's degree.
Phoenix says the course is experiential, with students making art while learning the fundamentals of art therapy.
Therapy that is different from talk therapy or somatic therapy. It's the hallmarks of art therapy are creative expression and the image or the art object.
The University of South Arkansas in Magnolia is the only college in the state which offers a four-year degree in art therapy and is accepting students from North Arkansas College now.
And as an art therapist, what I think is important is to help other people love themselves. And creating the art is the vehicle toward that self-love, that self-understanding.
North Arkansas College is planning to expand its art studio into an existing courtyard. The college also offers art classes to residents of Boone, Carroll, Marion, Searcy, Newton, and Madison counties. Again, Cynthia Dollard.
As part of the Arts Initiative, we've been able to offer community classes, and these include painting, ceramics, and we did 2 art therapy workshops. And it's really exciting to bring community members into our art studio so that they can discover this real gem at the college.
Cynthia Dollard says the college's virtual art and art therapy classes are attracting students from as far away as California and Virginia. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, faculty at the University of Arkansas are taking part in a forum today discussing how to handle the upcoming fall semester as the state nears record numbers of COVID hospitalizations and infection numbers continue to rise as well. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich is monitoring that meeting, and she'll report for us on tomorrow's show. We're also going to listen to what Governor Asa Hutchinson says at his press conference today, and we'll get an idea of what's happening this weekend with Becca Martin Brown, the features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All of that and more on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on KUAF. Also available in our free podcast version of The Daily Show, available through KUAF.com or any major podcast distributor.
Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum on the Square in downtown Bentonville. The museum is pleased to present Live at the Five and Dime, free, family-friendly concerts on the square Thursdays from 5 to 7 p.m. WalmartMuseum.com for more information.
A dining hall on the University of Arkansas campus will have a different name after a vote yesterday by the U of A Board of Trustees. The name of Charles Brough will be repealed. Brough's role in the Elaine Massacre of 1919, in which hundreds of black Arkansans were murdered, brought calls for that removal. The Board of Trustees also voted yesterday to affirm that Senator J. William Fulbright's name will remain attached to the school's College of Arts and Sciences due to his association with promoting international understanding and world peace through education. The college name had been examined given the senator's support of the Southern Manifesto and his objections to some civil rights legislation. The board also acknowledged that the recently passed Act 1003 prohibits the University of Arkansas from relocating or moving a statue of Senator Fulbright from its current location. In an email yesterday, Acting Chancellor Bill Kincaid wrote that university officials will begin work on developing appropriate contextualization for the statue as directed by the board.
Welcome to today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. On the program, we'll visit with John Irk. He is the Senior Director of Development and External Relations at the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. But starting next month, he'll take on a new job as Vice Chancellor for Institutional Advancement at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. That interview, plus a roundup of other recent business headlines, are ahead after the break on today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
John Irk has led significant fundraising efforts at the University of Arkansas in both the athletics department and for the Walton College of Business. Starting August 23rd, he'll take over as the top fundraiser for the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. A Minnesota native, Irk has degrees from the University of Kansas and the University of North Carolina, and his resume includes athletic department fundraising jobs at North Carolina and Vanderbilt. He joined the University of Arkansas Athletic Department in January 2010 as Director of Development, and he secured the funding to build the $40 million Fred W. Smith Football Center, which opened in 2013. He joined the Walton College that same year, where he was in charge of the business school's fundraising for Campaign Arkansas. In our interview this week, Irk discussed his interest in the UAMS job, his philanthropic philosophy, and his immediate goals with UAMS.
Well, I'm excited because it's the only academic medical center in the state, and its growing presence around the state, you know, beyond the main campus in Little Rock, there are 8 campuses and soon to be a 9th, and a growing presence here in Northwest Arkansas with the partnership with the Razorbacks and athletics. And it's just a new challenge and an opportunity to maybe help build something great. UMS has a lot of big ambitions that hopefully we'll be a part of and still get to partner with the university. I think there's a lot of synergies and a lot of ways that in order to make some of those great things happen, it'll require us all working together.
Yeah, you mentioned your career, even going back to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt in Arkansas, you've been in the higher ed fundraising world with an athletic focus and then a business focus with the Walton College and now to a healthcare perspective. So what do you think is going to be the common thread in each of those areas? What is your philanthropic philosophy, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think it's all, no matter what you're raising money for, it's people wanting to make a difference. It's aligning, donors' philanthropic passions and goals with university or medical center initiatives or athletic initiatives and aligning those priorities. So really just sort of listening to people and making those connections. A lot of people have something they want to accomplish beyond their professional career, and they have a cause that they really believe in and they want to make an impact on. And so it's a matter of finding the people who have that desire and have those resources and buy into the leadership and the initiatives that you're selling, so to speak.
Yeah, you mentioned making connections. You know, I would imagine a lot of your work is cultivating relationships and building those connections and creating new relationships. And during the pandemic, one of the things we saw was a big number of online fundraising campaigns and moving things online as we did for a lot of things. Your work is face-to-face most of the time, I would imagine. So what does the future of fundraising look like in that regard?
Yeah, face-to-face is always better. You really just can connect better with people. You can really get to know them. You can read their body language and they yours, and the connection is obviously stronger. But, you know, I think one of the things we learned in the pandemic is it will affect some best practices. We've had, you know, donors and prospects in faraway places that we've had great relationships with, but we've not been able to see them just by virtue of the way things work. We haven't been able to get to maybe Florida or California or New York or wherever they are on a regular basis. But the pandemic has sort of enabled us to say, okay, we can't get to you more than once a year, but now we're comfortable saying, hey, can we get 30 minutes on a Zoom call or whatever, and just keeping that cultivation going. So it's still going to be really hard to build new relationships without personal face-to-face interactions and meetings, but you can – it's more socially acceptable, I guess, to cultivate and keep those conversations going virtually, especially if you're not able to get to wherever the person is.
Right. I think your first official day at UAMS is in August 23rd, I think. What immediate goals have you started to think about for the rest of 2021 as you get started for that new job?
Yeah, I really just need to listen a lot, you know, listen to the leadership at UAMS, listen to the staff and the group that I'll be working with, listen to the constituents and learn more about, I mean, I'm learning already and I've learned through this process a lot of the priorities and the initiatives and some of the people and some of the pitfalls and just kind of learning all that and tackling the immediate issues and if there's low-hanging fruit, picking that, you know. So that first, you know, it's August. It'll be, you know, the first 30, 60 days at least, I think, it'll be just getting to know the people and reconnecting with people that I've maybe known in the past and figuring out what that roadmap is going to look like.
Right, yeah. Well, being from, you're not from Arkansas, but now obviously these two significant institutions, obviously, on your resume are the university and now UAMS, where your career is. You feel like an Arkansan now?
I do. You know, my wife is from Arkansas and her whole family is from here. And my kids have mostly grown up here in Fayetteville because my oldest is 17 and we've been here now for almost 12 years. So it's home.
Right. And that's a good point you made. You'll still be based in Fayetteville in Northwest Arkansas while traveling, of course, frequently to Little Rock and other areas of the state.
That's right. Yeah. It's the age of my kids. I've got a rising sophomore, senior, and seventh grader, and it just would be really tough. So I'm fortunate and thankful that it worked out this way.
Yeah, and you'll get a bird's eye view of that new, you mentioned the ninth facility that's scheduled to come, a bird's eye view of the big new sports and orthopedic facility planned in Springdale. It's going to be a crown jewel.
Yeah, I think so. And the campus in El Dorado, too, that had some success with philanthropy for recently. So lots of exciting growth.
And that is John Erk with the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas, but soon to start a new fundraising job with UAMS. We've got that story online at nwabusinessjournal.com. In other news this week, Walmart on Tuesday said it would pay the full cost of college tuition and books for its roughly 1.5 million full and part-time employees effective August 16th. Nearly 28,000 employees have been active in Walmart's educational programs this summer alone, and 8,000 have graduated since it began in 2018 to offer college degrees, skills training, and other certificate programs. And Northwest Technical Institute in Springdale says it will launch a new commercial driver's license training program this fall. Since 2015, Mid-America Truck Driving School has operated the program on campus, That program will be phased out by September 15th. I'm Paul Gatling, and that's the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large. We are moving into a summer weekend, the last weekend that'll be in July. That doesn't mean there isn't live music. In fact, to back me up that there's plenty of live music, I bring in Timothy Dennis. Timothy, how are you?
I'm excellent, Kyle. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. What do we got?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff. Before, you know, we get into it, I will add this caveat, though. You know, with the Delta variant of COVID going around, definitely double check that all of these shows are still happening. And also, use common sense when you're going out to some of these shows. Just
very
advice.
Good.
Okay, so starting this evening, the next edition of Live at the Five and Dime at the Walmart Museum in Bentonville is going to feature Hogtown Hot Club.
Adequately named for tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be steamy out there, but also the music is pretty steamy. I mean, think Django yes. Reinhardt and swing jazz. Pretty steamy music, if you ask me. That gets underway at 5 o'clock. Again, that is at the Walmart Museum on the Bentonville Square.
Gotcha.
Happening tonight down in Fort Smith, it's kind of the start of the annual Peacemaker Festival. Majestic in Fort Smith is going to have a free show featuring Tanner Ussery and Lucero.
And you say this is kind of the beginning because Peace Festival proper starts a little bit later.
Correct, but this pre-party gotcha. For the Peacemaker Festival at Majestic tonight begins at 7 o'clock.
All right.
And then in Fayetteville tonight, Kingfish is going to have Randall Shreve on stage.
Oh, I love Randall.
That show begins at 8 o'clock tonight at Kingfish in Fayetteville. The other Shreve, Benjamin Dell, is going to be at George's Majestic Lounge tomorrow night. Listen, dance like the moves that you're doing are on purpose. Sing like you're singing on key. Talk to the girl that intimidates you. Pretend that you're brilliant and charming. I said pretend that you're brilliant and charming. Nah, 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 nah.
Excellent.
Tickets for that show are $12 in advance. They go up to $15 tomorrow. Gets underway at 9 o'clock tomorrow night again. That's at George's in Fayetteville. Also in Fayetteville tomorrow night, Kingfish is going to have an interesting trio of sorts. It's going to feature Molly Healy, who is a singer-musician from the Springfield area. She'll be joined by local fiddler Michael Scambry and drummer extraordinaire, just great all-around guy, Mitch Twombly. That show at Kingfish tomorrow night gets underway at 9 o'clock.
And the Kingfish shows, unless we tell you differently, are free.
Correct, correct. And they're outside. They have plenty of space outside on the patio and in front of the stage. It's a really good time. Also happening tomorrow night up in Bentonville, the Hub Bike Lounge, they are doing music every Friday night. And this Friday night, they're going to feature Jesse Dean.
Oh, we like Jesse Dean very much.
That show gets underway at the Hub in Bentonville tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Also happening in Bentonville, it's time again for the Momentaries Live on the Green series. This week they're featuring the Stax Music Academy and DJ Raquel. Gets underway at 7:30 tomorrow night, again at the Momentary in Bentonville.
And when I think Stax, I think Booker T and the MGs, and mm-hmm. Sam and Dave, that sort of thing.
Right, right. Also happening up in Benton County tomorrow night, Rail Yard Live, their next concert is going to feature the Fayetteville Jazz Collective.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hey, I went to Rail Yard Live this past weekend, and it was a great time. They got Yeos, they got Ozark beer, they've got a covered tent. There was a breeze. I can't guarantee that that'll happen every time, but it'll be it's a good venue.
I mean, this time of year, music, tacos, beer, and shade really equate to a good time.
You're right.
That show at the Rail Yard Live tomorrow night gets underway at 8 o'clock. Again, that's in downtown Rogers. Happening over in Eureka Springs tomorrow night, Ponder the Albatross will be on stage at Chelsea's.
Galaxy, which any enemy would soon surrender. It's the time.
you can't wait that long, they're also playing at George's Majestic Lounge tonight starting at 7 o'clock. But that show at Chelsea's tomorrow night gets underway at 9 o'clock. Okay, so as part of Peacemaker, there are going to be after parties each night. Let's talk about the one for Friday night. Majestic is hosting that party. The Friday night after party is going to feature Matt Williams and Austin Upchurch.
I remember mason jars in the city park when you could see the stars. And the dairy farms, the back roads, and a stall car. When we couldn't get home, the clutch was stuck in that old truck.
That after party at Majestic gets underway at 8:30 tomorrow night.
That's my kind of after party.
Yeah.
I can do an after party that starts at 8:30.
I mean, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Saturday, an annual tradition that has, well, something that has become an annual tradition in Fayetteville. George's Majestic Lounge is going to host Friends of the Family, Crazy Neighbor, and Isaiah's All-Stars as part of the 16th annual Jerry Garcia Birthday Bash.
There you go.
The wheel is turning and you can't slow down. You can't let go and you can't hold on. You can't go back and you can't stand still. If the thunder don't get you, then the lightning will.
Tickets for that show are $10. Gets underway 8:30 Saturday night. Again, that's at George's in downtown Fayetteville. Moving up to Crystal Bridges, the next Forest Concert Series concert is going to feature Dylan Earle and Jonathan Terrell.
And that's outside.
That is outside. They're both people we've had in the Furman Garner Performance Studio before. Should be a good evening of country music. Tickets are $12 for that, $10 if you're a Crystal Bridges member, and 18 and under get in for free. Gets underway at 7 o'clock Saturday night at the Forest at Crystal Bridges. Then Dominic B. Roy will be on stage at Gotta Hold Brewing Saturday night in Eureka Springs. That set gets underway at 5:30 p.m. Now, back down to Fort Smith for more Peacemaker things. Earlier in the day, actually, at about 11 a.m., they're going to feature what they are calling an emerging females showcase, featuring Holly Beth and Holly Tucker. If you ask me, that could be the Emerging Hollies showcase.
There you go.
Again, that gets underway at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. at Majestic in Fort Smith. Then the after party for Peacemaker that evening is going to feature the Chad Cook Band. That after party is a little bit later, gets underway at 11 p.m. Again, that's at Majestic in downtown Fort Smith.
All right.
Okay, and then finally, closing out the weekend for us, Kingfish in Fayetteville is going to feature Justin Larkin. And if you'll go back a few weeks, Kyle, you remember that you said that you have a huge affinity for one-man bands.
I do indeed.
Well, Justin Larkin is one such band from the Springfield area.
Song, now that's in the rear view, something we persevere through. Now it's my turn to hear you, and I'm singing along. I know things are different.
If you can brave the heat Sunday, he is taking the stage at Kingfish at 4 o'clock in downtown Fayetteville.
All right, one-man band. I love it.
And that should take care of us through the weekend, and if you want to know more music that's happening that we didn't get a chance to mention on air, go to our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
And if you didn't hear something we should have said and you don't see it at our website because we didn't know about it, let us know.
Yeah, email me at timothy@kuaf.com or kyle@kuaf.com or ozarksatlarge@kuaf.com.
Timothy Dennis, thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. We open Sound Perimeter today with the first of 10 preludes for solo cello, written by Russian composer Sofia Gubaidulina in 1974. The title of this first prelude is Staccato Legato, short and long. Gubaidulina wrote this collection of cello pieces as an exploration of multiple or single elements of the instrument's techniques. Born in 1931, Gubaidulina's compositional style is marked by her fascination for sound and color. Her repertoire includes symphonic and choral works, concertos for string instruments, and works for percussion groups, among others. For her, music was an escape from the oppressive Russian society. Also in the hands of cellist David Hetherington from a performance at the Kerner Hall in Toronto in October of 2020, let us listen to the end of the second prelude, this time titled Legato Staccato, the opposite of the first, in which Gubaidulina delves even further in the characteristics and uniqueness of the violoncello. That was cellist David Hetherington from a performance at the Kerner Hall in Toronto, October of 2020, interpreting the end of Russian composer Sofia Gubaidulina's second prelude for cello solo, written in 1974. Lágrimas Negras, Black Tears, is a bolero song composed by Cuban musician Miguel Matamoros in 1930 and first recorded in 1931, the same year when Sofia Gubaidulina was born. This song has been performed and recorded by a variety of voices and artists through the years, and this one is a particular rendition as it includes Spanish flamenco singer Diego El Cigala and Cuban pianist arranger Bebo Valdez.
Y aunque tú me has echado en el abandono, y aunque tú has muerto mi ilusión, de maldecirte con justo encono, y en mis sueños te colmo, y en mis sueños te colmo de bendiciones. Sufro la inmensa pena de tu extravío, siento el dolor profundo de tu partida, y lloro que tú sepas que el llanto mío tiene lágrimas negras, tiene lágrimas negras como mi vida.
Lágrimas Negras, a Cuban bolero song interpreted by Spanish flamenco singer Diego El Cigala and Cuban pianist arranger Bebo Valdez. Today in Sound Perimeter, we have explored contrast. Let us listen to the end of Lágrimas Negras, one of the most beautiful love songs ever written, in a version that mixes the Afro-Cuban rhythms, improvisatory style, and cadence of Cuban music with the melancholic and profound inflections of flamenco singing style. This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter.
Pañuelo de blanco y oro que yo te daba, que yo te daba. Agua del limonero, agua del limonero. Si te acaricio la cara, tienes que darme un beso. Tú me quieres dejar, yo no quiero sufrir. Contigo me voy tana y aunque me cueste morir. Contigo me voy tana y aunque me cueste morir.
This is Ozarks at Large. The 30th season for Walton Arts Center is approaching, and today we conclude our preview with Scott Galbraith, the Vice President of Programming and Executive Producer at Walton Arts Center, and Jennifer Ross, the Director of Programming at Walton Arts Center. We finish with a look at the 10x10 series, shows with tickets priced at $10. We'll also talk about a series that has children in mind. That series will include the return of a performance created in tandem with Walton Arts Center 12 years ago for schools with Trike Theater. It's called Digging Up Arkansas.
The show still has great legs. It has performed to upwards of, it's above 30,000 kids. I don't know the exact number at this point, but over those 10 years. And it's time for us to put it back on its feet. And we've also been working with Trike and the playwright and others to look at the script again, listen to it again, make sure that, you know, the language choices are right, because the world has changed a lot, yes, in the last 10 years, and it's changed a lot in the last couple of years. So, for instance, where the script at one point referred to slaves, it's now enslaved people. We're making sure that we're using the appropriate language that gives credit for humanity and not, you know, labeling folks inappropriate. So it is the same show, but through a truly 21st century lens now, and even more specifically a 2021 lens.
Right.
And we're glad to be able to offer it publicly, whereas most of the years in the past, we've not offered a public show of Digging Up Arkansas. It's been strictly for schools or been on tour to the schools in the state. And so we're glad to be able to offer four public shows so that children with their families can come and see the show and then go home and talk about it.
There's also The Very Hungry Caterpillar, a bilingual Cinderella, and Leonardo and Sam. So it's a filled-out series.
It's a filled-out series, lots of diversity. And, yeah, the bilingual Cinderella is a one-woman performance. Happen to love the fact that it's not so much about physical beauty and does the shoe fit. The man falls in love with her poetry, and it's about essentially seeking out this woman who has this amazing mind. It's a nice contemporary – it's the same story, but it's a nice contemporary twist – that is completely appropriate.
Excellent. By the way, is that where If the Shoe Fits comes from, the Cinderella legend story?
Oh.
I believe so.
Wow.
Let's go with that.
See? I learn something every day.
And Leonardo and Sam is by Manual Cinema out of Chicago. They were here a few years ago for Artisphere. And Manual Cinema is a company that uses shadow puppetry and Foley artists to create these stories. And it's fascinating to see their work.
That'll be fun. 10x10 series is great. It's massive. We're not going to talk about each and every one. I encourage people to go to the website and look. I'm going to pick out the one that I'm most excited about. Some, I confess, I don't know what they are. So if you each want to pick one. But the Mingus Big Band for $10 is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy that we'll be able to get, again, filling the room with sound.
And amazing sound.
Yeah.
That is so historically important in the context of American music. Yes, to be able to do that, And that's during Jazz Appreciation Month. I mean, it's a great fit, so I'm glad you're excited by that. There are actually two on there I never pick favorites because I love all my children.
Yes.
But there are two on here that I think deserve a little bit of spotlight, and because they are associated with residencies, and we don't often get a chance to do that. So one is It Gets Better, which is a culmination. That's actually the name of the performance, and it's a culmination of a week-long residency by members of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus who come in town and lead a series of conversations and workshops more specifically for LGBTQ youth in our community. But the performance will then involve Dr. Jeffrey Murdoch and the Inspirational Chorale. They will be part of that performance. And the performance,
Grammy-winning Dr. Jeffrey Murdoch.
Thank you.
Murdoch.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And let me tell you, that made it a lot easier for the producer to go, yeah, I think we could work with him. But the performance is a combination of stories, real-life stories that they have curated over the course of the 10-ish years that this project has been out there. So they're real-life stories coupled with some fantastic music, some local element. But it's a really important piece of work and a very uplifting, spiritually uplifting piece of work. And the other one that I want to draw attention to is Joyous Justice. And it's spelled J-O-Y-U-S, capital U-S, as in United States, just J-U-S-T, capital U-S, Joyous Justice. And it's by a company out of California that is an activist dance theater company. And the whole premise of this, again, has a week-long residency associated with it. But the premise of this is that it takes the sort of deficit-based narrative about people of color. And sorry, these are going to sound tropey. And these we have to say them so that we can understand why this piece exists. You know, lazy, unmotivated, we know the tropes. It takes all the negative stereotypes and turns them around, and it focuses on family and community, and it's centered around the idea of joy as a radical act of justice.
I love this.
And so it's an amazing, again, really spiritually uplifting piece. You do not need to be a member of the BIPOC community to come to the show and enjoy it. You will love it. I've seen it, and I've been talking about it ever since, so I'm thrilled that we get to put that one on our stage.
That particular show, Kyle, was one of those shows. We were in New York at an arts presenters conference, and it's one of the shows that Scott called me immediately after and said, we have to do this. And those are the fun calls to get when one of us gets so excited and so just changed by a work that we want to bring to Northwest Arkansas so that we can, you know, do the same thing for our community.
And those 10 by 10 shows, I mean, most tickets are $10.
That's right. That's right. And this year in particular, and yes, do please dig in, when folks have time, there's a lot of social relevance in this season. It's all entertaining, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But there's a lot of social relevance. There's a piece in here that has to do with the Voting Rights March over the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And it's a real life account of somebody who turned 15 on that day and was a part of that historical moment. There's another piece that is really all about misinformation in the media, present company accepted, and our government from 9/11 to today, which is obviously a very important topic in our world these days. So there's great entertainment, but there's also a lot that's very significant to our world right now.
That's great. Can you buy the whole 10 by 10 series? Is that something that's purchasable?
No, we do have – there are subscriptions available for West Street Live,
right,
for Starlight Jazz, for Broadway, and then you can create your own subscription series. So you can effectively do that, but we don't offer the single package of all
10. You're going to have to work a little bit harder on the
website.
Just a bit. We've been talking about some of the things that are in the Mosaics series. That starts in October, goes all the way through April. Some of the things we mentioned, the films from South Asia – Joyous Justice. Anything else you want to make sure we recognize in there?
Yeah, one of the pieces on here is by a local comedian, Raj Suresh. And we were working with Raj in, I think, starting in 2019. He was going to be part of the first Mosaics Festival. And this piece, which he has written specifically for this, is called 4,000 Days. We didn't change the title, even though it's several hundred days more than 4,000
days. Right.
But it really is his story toward citizenship. And it has been more than 4,000 days now. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
But he basically uses like 1,000-day increments to help benchmark the story of his path toward U.S. citizenship.
Scott Galbraith, the Vice President of Programming and Executive Producer at Walton Arts Center, and Jennifer Ross, the Director of Programming at Walton Arts Center, joined me last week inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. More about the upcoming season at waltonartscenter.com. ozarksatlarge.org.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Later this afternoon on KUAF, on All Things Considered, some Olympic dreams are playing out in Tokyo. But one cyclist's journey ended before the Games, with broken bones and a pile of medical bills. July's Bill of the Month. And all the day's news on All Things Considered from 3 to 6 today on KUAF. Speaking of the Olympics, congratulations to Kelsey Plum, one of the members of the United States women's 3-on-3 basketball team. Kelsey, a graduate assistant coach for Mike Nabor's Razorback basketball team, helped lead the U.S. squad to the gold medal in the inaugural 3-on-3 Olympic competition. Plum was an All-American at Washington when Mike Nabor's coached there. And Razorback connected athletes will begin competition in track and field events tomorrow. In all, 8 Olympians with University of Arkansas connections are seeking medals in various events and representing several countries, including the United States, Denmark, Trinidad and Tobago, and Slovenia.
Salim Rashamwala doesn't like to travel with an itinerary.
Sticking really close to an itinerary kind of takes away a certain spontaneity and just chaos that leads to a more like raw experience, you know?
Unexpected stories, music, and ideas from around the globe. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, Sunday morning at 11 on KUAF. This is KUAF 91.3, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Springdale. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF, which is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Contributors to our Thursday edition included Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, Leah Uribe, and David Monteith from our partner station KUAR, Public Radio for Little Rock and all of Central Arkansas. Timothy Dennis produced today's show. He also produced today's edition of Sound Perimeter. You can connect with us through the newly updated KUAF app. The Connect feature is easy to use. It lets you send us an audio message and maybe answer our question of the moment. You can also stream all of our stations through the updated app, find the latest edition of Ozarks at Large, and conveniently support KUAF all in one place. The updated app is free. It's available right now. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Please be careful. We'll talk again tomorrow at noon and 7.